I wasn't paying attention to the last service and I had to like run up on stage. You'd think I would know that I was supposed to come on here, right? Anyway, it's been a tricky day. But God is good all the time. All the time God is good. So I'm here to close out the series on poison control. And I don't know if y'all have watched the news lately. We live in a poisonous world, right? So amen, exactly. So Mike, in the last couple weeks, we talked about the poisonous thoughts that can control us. We talked about last week about the poisonous influences that can poison us. So today I'm going to finish it off with the poisonous words that can influence our lives. These poisons can slowly creep into our lives, and what they do is they keep us from God's blessings. When they start to creep in, we need to recognize them and we need to remove them. And then today, we will replace them. We will replace them with the words of God, the holy words that God said, and then breathed on them and gave them life. So I broke my series into three B's. So we're going to learn about the breath of God, then we're going to believe it, and then we're going to boldly live it. We must protect ourselves. And how we do that is protecting ourselves with the word of God. We must listen to what the Creator says, not what the created says. When I was in third grade, you guys, I think it was called phonics at the time. I don't know, that was a hot second ago. But anyway, I remember in third grade, some teacher decided that I needed help in phonics and language arts or whatever. So every day, I was the only kid in the class, I would have to step up at 11:15 and go to special reading. And that happened to me for third grade, fourth grade, and fifth grade. And every day at 11:15, I would have to stand up in front of the whole class and walk out the back door. And there was always one kid sitting in the back corner. And he would always call me a dummy every time I walked by him. So for 3 years, I had that same kid in my class. And for 3 years, every day at 11:15, I would get called a dummy. And it's so crazy that as a kid, I now look back and know that I had anxieties about it because, you know, 11 o'clock would come and then 11:05. And then I was like, and then I just felt like I could hear the clock click down because I knew those words were going to be spoken to me and call me a dummy. And it's even crazy now as I talk about being called a dummy, or here's a good one, they'd call me Grody Jody. Psh, whatever. It's so funny though, because even telling you guys that story, it still sparks an emotion in me. Because what we do is we allow those words to become a label that will follow you. But once I finally realized that I wasn't a dummy, that I wasn't Grody Jody, I realized I was the handpicked daughter of the Most High, and that changed everything for me. So I replaced dummy, I replaced those words, and I started to believe the words that God says about me. I am the handpicked daughter of the Most High. So in that, I knew that I had value, I had meaning, and I could understand the unconditional love that the Creator had for me. So Grody Jody turned to princess, dummy turned to adored, unloved turned to loved and redeemed. And eventually, the word now is enough, because that's what God says, Jody. You are enough. You're enough for me. You are enough. I made you in my likeness. You are enough. I want to jump right into the breath of God, which is the first one. So to think about this, I did a Bible study on Genesis a couple times, and it talks about how God literally spoke existence. He spoke it into existence, the world. He spoke everything. And then guess what he did? In Genesis 2:7, it says, then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils and breathed life, and the man became living. The power of God's word to make the world, then to create humans, and then to breathe a holy breath into you. That is a powerful breath and a powerful voice. We must believe it because that's who made us. I love 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be equipped for every good work. He spoke it and it was a holy breath. Where are you guys going for equipping? Are you going to social media? Are you going to the Bible? I can tell you where you need to go, because this world will say things about you that are poisonous, and we must not believe them. We must believe the breath of our holy Creator. I'm going to go to the Bible reading now, you guys. If you have a Bible app or a Bible, you're welcome to open it. We're going to go to Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. But I'm going to tell you guys, I wrote this in the Message version because I love the Message Bible. Because to me, I feel like it's written in such plain English. So if you have the NIV or the NLT, it won't be exactly perfect, but I think we're going to put it up on the screen also. It says, watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps each other. Let your word be a gift. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most important part of your life, making you fit for him. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all the cutting, backbiting, and profane talk. Be gentle with one another and sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as Christ has forgiven you. How are you guys doing with that? Are you quickly and thoroughly forgiving people? It's hard to do. But guess what? Christ does it for us every single day. The thing as I was writing this, I was thinking about, before you talk, you have to take a breath. So before you talk, make sure that breath you breathe in isn't just a short, quick one. Think about the holy breath of God that you breathe it in. Because our words, we're responsible for them. And you know what? I saw this in a seminar one time and I thought it was so important. It's called think before you speak. The T. If what you're going to say, is it truthful? H, is it helpful? I, is it insightful? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? If you're about let to something splurge out of your mouth, if sometimes you guys, I think I've only gotten to the T and the H. I don't even think I've even made it all the way down to a K. Because trust me, I'm a talker. I like to talk and I like to, and all of a sudden I'm like, is it truthful? Is it helpful? I'm going to not say it. If you can take that holy breath and think before you speak, it's going to help you out a lot. Because I'm going to tell you, there's things that fly out of my mouth sometimes that I so wish that I could retrieve back and take back. But when I calm down and think about the holy breath and think before I speak, it makes a difference. James 3:5-6 says, it only takes a spark to remember to set an entire forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By your speech, you can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on your reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up with it. Do we want to start forest fires with our mouth? No, but it can happen. And Mike said a couple weeks ago, you know, we're living in a pandemic of such an unprecedented time. We may have one chance to get this right, you guys. And sometimes we only have one chance to be the light of Christ. We need to step up and be that. 1 Peter 3:10 says, whoever wants to embrace life and see the days fill up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or harmful, snub evil and cultivate good, and run after peace for all your worth. Are you guys running after peace for all you're worth? I'm going to tell you a story. For those of you who don't know, I'm a hairstylist and I do hair. And so I work with 26 other people. And I was headed to the break room one day eating my lunch. And I could see my girlfriend coming down the hall. Her name's Diana. I call her Dee. And she is a flaming redhead. And I told her one day, I said, I think your redhead is God's warning label on you, maybe. She's a little hothead, but I love my redhead. So anyway, she sat down and she was mad. And I was like, Dee, what's wrong? And she's like, I'm just really frustrated. I was like, why? She's like, well, I'm done this gal's hair. And I haven't done it that many times. And I just asked her, what would you do this weekend? And she's like, well, we went to Branson and we saw a show. And she's like, oh, well, that's cool. What show did you get to see? And she says, oh, it was the story of Samson and Goliath. And she's like, well, what story is that? And she's like, oh, I forgot you weren't a Christian. Well, it's a Bible story. My girlfriend didn't recognize those names and know that it was a Bible story. So instantly she felt judged. So I said, I'm sorry that happened to you, that in that moment you didn't know a name from the Bible and somebody made you feel bad about it. I said, because I'm going to tell you, the God I serve is an amazing God. I said, you know what God says? God says to put him first and foremost in your life and to love your neighbor as yourself. And your neighbor is pretty much every other human being that's ever made. So you need to love God and you need to love people. And the most important thing, Dee, that I need you to understand is you're a child of God and God loves you. And then of course there's other people in the room and I turn into a preacher and I'm like, and God loves you and you and you. And guess what? God don't make no junk. So I'm sorry that happened to you, but God loves you. You are a child of God. Do we cultivate good, you guys? We must be the hands and feet of Jesus wherever we go. And I'm going to tell you, the world right now needs it more than ever. I had a client that was just in a couple weeks ago, finally bought her 12-year-old son his first iPhone and got him Snapchat, which I guess, is the way that young kids talk to each other. I used to pick up a phone and have a dial tone, which is kind of weird. But anyway, so this kid, Snapchat, I guess, is what you do. Okay, you post these stories or these little videos or whatever, and people like them. And so this little kid Saturday, he was so excited. He's like, oh, I'm getting my phone. Oh my gosh, I'm finally get my phone. He gets his phone. He gets a Snapchat. Like Saturday, he's, but every time the phone dings, he's like, and his mom's like, oh, calm down. The phone can ding. You don't need to, By Sunday afternoon, that kid's demeanor had completely changed. And his mom's like, buddy, what's wrong? Mom, you don't understand. And she's like, well, what don't I understand? I thought you were excited to get your phone. He's like, I am, Mom, but I posted something on Snapchat and I only got 3 likes. And she's like, well, 3, that's pretty good, isn't it? He's like, no, you don't understand. You don't understand, Mom. That means that I'm a nerd. I'm not funny. People don't like me. I'm not even going to go to school tomorrow. And she's like, oh no, you're going to go to school. So parents, do you realize that these children are getting their value and their worth from an emoji? From an emoji. A happy face, a sad face, a thumbs up, a thumbs down, maybe a piece of fruit, I don't know. That's what is defining our children right now. And as parents, we need to fight back. Because I'm going to tell you, the emoji system, it's a man-made system. It lets people who don't even know who you are judge you and comment on you, tell you whether you're good or bad, whether they liked your video, whether they didn't like your video. And that's what our teens are thinking their worth is about, an emoji. It's what the world says. It's not what God says. You know what God says? We must listen to what God says. Genesis 1:31, God said, God saw all that he made, and it was good. It was very good. So our self-image and our identity comes from Christ. So how can our self-image be low when we are made in his likeness? I'll tell you, I do not feel my best when I'm absorbed in myself. The world will offer you a small fix, like, oh, you feel good, you got a new haircut, you got a new little sweater, you feel good, but guess what? At the end of the day, it's only when we are completely immersed in God and his love that we can begin to shine. That's where our beliefs come from, not from an emoji, not whether a thumbs up or a thumbs down. It's God's holy breath that gave you life, on which you build upon. That is your image, and that is your identity. Not a system of this up and down, because God's thumb is up all the time for you. Because guess what? You are enough. I'm going to jump into now that we know that God spoke and breathed those words. Now we're going to believe it, people. People tend to believe lies that reinforce their own selfish beliefs. Today, more than ever, we need to be careful about the input that we allow to form our beliefs. TV, social media, movies, presenting sinful lifestyles and unwholesome values. We find ourselves constantly bombarded by attitudes that are totally opposed to the Bible. We must be careful about what we allow to form our opinion. The Bible is the only standard of truth. Evaluate all other opinions in light of that teaching. Mm-hmm. So my sister's going to seminary school, and she had preached at her church a couple weeks ago, and she had brought something up about the hate groups on social media. That, like, if you get on and you hate what they hate, then you give them a thumbs up. Or if you hate what they hate, then you give them a like. And that's the system that the world has made. The ups and downs. The emojis. But I'm going to tell you, we must listen to the creator, not the created. Do not live by the world's standards, because they will always fall short. We are also so quick, especially with media, to let a stranger tell us our worth and breathe a holy breath, an unholy breath into us. We don't know these people. But we let them ruin our days, our lives, sneak in as poison in our life, and can even make you think about your morals and values. I get it. We want to be liked. I get it. We live in a world where vanity reigns. We need likes. We need thumbs up. But you know what? The world will fall short. It's only your creator. You must, when those poisons come in, you must recognize it, remove it, and replace it with the word of God. And I have people all the time say, well, I don't hear him. I don't hear him like you do. I was like, okay, well, you're moving too fast. Because I'm going to tell you, God's voice that spoke the world into existence, then breathed a holy breath onto us, is the same voice that says God's voice in the Old Testament came in communication as a whirlwind. He announced his presence in an earthquake. He parted the seas for Moses. His voice is like thunder, and we are told that lightning and thunder will precede him on the throne of heaven. But guess what, you guys? When Elijah needed him most, guess what? He met Elijah in a cave and spoke to him in a still, small voice. The voice that is thunder and lightning and creation showed up in a still, small voice when Elijah needed him the most. It is proof to us, you guys, that God is in the big and the little of every aspect of our life. And God is always speaking to us, trying to get our attention. We must calmly and quietly go before him so that we can hear this soft whisper of our caring Father in that still, small voice. Then I have people say, well, I don't believe it. How am I going to know? How will I know? I ask them, what's your posture? What is your posture before you go before the Lord? Okay, Lord, really help me out today. I got to go. Boom, gone. Oh, can you? Okay, Lord, I have to. Gone. What are you doing? I had a client the other day go, oh, I can't. I said, are you going to the phone or are you going to the throne? Where are you getting your equipping from? Shut your phone off. Pick up your Bible. Look up and you will hear the still small voice. It is the holy throne we must go to. We must take time to listen. And again, I'm probably saying this only for me. We got two ears and one mouth. Maybe we should listen twice as much as we talk. When you know the truth, it will set you free. I love the site. I don't know. Some of you guys, I usually go to the first service. I'm going to tell you, that's my chair right there, the first one. Because I wish I could sing. It's one gift God has not granted me. I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in a basket. But I'm going to tell you, I love praise and worship music. So I come up here, and I just hope that Jeremy can't hear me. And the mask kind of helps a little bit, too, because I can't sing, but I get the holy jiggles. And it's just music moves me, and it speaks to me so much. So I love the song right now by Sidewalk Prophets called Chosen. And it says, what do you see when you look in the mirror? You're not worthless. You're precious. Do you feel left out? Nope. You're wanted. Are you invisible? Nope. Not with your shining soul. Love has spoken and you are chosen. You are the chosen one that God breathed life into you. You guys, as Isaiah 43, 2-4 says it all to me. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, I paid a huge price for you. That's how much that you mean to me. I put my name in there, Jody. That is how much you mean to me, Jody. That is how much you mean. And guess what? I love you. I'd sell off the whole world just to get you back, trade all of creation just for you. The world will call you names. And it will threaten to steal your joy. And when it does, you know what? You recognize it, you remove it, and you replace it. So when that happens to me, which is so often, you know when I get attacked the most? It's when I step off the stage. All day long, the devil tries to get a hold of me and tell me it wasn't good, nobody liked it, you weren't funny, it didn't sound good. Those are the worst days. Just like Mike last week says, he gets nervous before he gets up here and thinks, I'm probably not very good. That's the devil. So you know what I say? I say the words that God has spoken to me. He says, Jody, you're strong. You're an overcomer. You're redeemed. You're courageous. You are rescued. You are provided for. You are loved. You are adored. You are precious. I made you in my image. And ultimately, you are enough. You are enough. You are enough for me. So now that we know that the Creator spoke those words and breathed a holy breath, we believed it. Now we must boldly live it. Mike said a couple weeks ago, what's the temperature like when you walk in the room? For me, I hope to God that I make the temperature rise because I want to bring it in hot, skidding on the skirt of Jesus. Like I want to bring Jesus and love to people. I want to, when I walk in a room, I want my love to confuse people. I want to confuse them to the point that they don't get it. And then I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them about my Creator. Tell them that I need to be the hands and feet of Jesus, that we must be ready at any moment. I'm going to tell you, life is hard. We have been through a hard season. I don't feel like it. Well, I know. Guess what? We don't all feel like it. But sometimes when life is the hardest is when you can shine the most. I'm going to tell you, my baby sister walked through a very difficult time. It was December 23rd. She had to go for her 6.5 month checkup. It was supposed to be her 6 month checkup, but she was 2 weeks late. She had a 4-year-old daughter, an 18 month old daughter, and she was almost 7 months pregnant with a boy. And she was so excited. So she goes into the doctor and the tech comes in and, you know, does the little thing on her belly, and all of a sudden they can't find a heartbeat. So then a nurse comes in and a nurse can't find the heartbeat. So the doctor comes in and the doctor can't find a heartbeat, and they do an ultrasound. They sit my sister down and give her the hardest news that I think that any woman or family would have to go through. They said, "Sean, I need you to know there's no longer a heartbeat. So the baby you're carrying is no longer alive." December 23rd, this happened to her. And she said, "Okay, what do we do now?" And he says, "Well, I know it's gonna be hard because you've always had cesareans. We need to take this, you're gonna have to do this naturally. It's not gonna be fun." And she says, "Well, okay, I can do this, but can I at least like see him? Can I?" And he said, I need you to know that we think that this is, he's been gone for a while. We need you to take that option off your plate and just know that this is something that you're just gonna have to do." She said, "Okay." So she took her family home the next day, got up. It's December 24th, and she goes to church. And here we are standing together, raising our hands, talking about how we're waiting for a Savior to be born as a baby. And all I could think about is, what does my sister feel as she is out to here, knowing what's inside of her, knowing that we're now praising this baby? So she went home that night. She took everybody else home, and she got in the car because she needed to take a drive to be by herself. And I'll never forget it. She called me afterwards. She found herself in a parking lot crying, not asking God why. But the song that came on was called "Broken Hallelujah" by Mandisa. It says, "With all my love and sadness, I come before you, Lord, my heart in 1,000 pieces, or maybe even more. Yet I trust you in this moment. You are with me somehow. You've always been faithful. So Lord, even now, when all I can sing is broken hallelujah, and my only offering to you is a shattered praise." She had to go through that. It took her 3 days. And guess what? God's plan was different from the doctor's plan. And in that moment, she got to meet her son and say goodbye to him, all in the same moment. And he was beautiful. And she continues, I watch her year after year after year when sweet baby Landon's birthday comes, and she raises her hand in shattered, broken praise. But you know what? If we had not lifted that to God, a year to the day later, my nephew Corbin was born. And we wouldn't know our sweet Corbin if we had not walked through Landon. And she continues to praise and praise and praise in that difficult time. People watch us. They watch our daily. They watch us when it's dirty and when it's hard. And that is sometimes when your light will shine the most. I watch her every year kneel at his grave. And she always thinks, she doesn't ask him why. She thanks him for that child. That is boldly living it, you guys. That's why I love Ephesians 4:15-16. We take the lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with one another. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God and robust in love. Are you guys paying it forward? Are you being robust in your love? Are you letting the Creator speak words to you? Or are you letting the poisons of life and the emojis control you and steal your joy? My daughter, actually everybody at school calls her goth girl because she wears dark clothing. She is in a band. And they love to, you know, labels. We love to put names on people. I said, you know, it's funny, Kendall, your name would work just fine, but you know, that'd be too easy. So my daughter has always brought home a very eclectic group of people to my home. And my prayer is always, as these children walk in my home, that they will not feel judged, that they will not feel a finger poked at them, that they will, I'm going to fix them a good meal. I'm going to love on them. That's all. I want these kids to come into my home and feel that kind of love. And she had brought a boy home who was questioning everything that a teenager could question. everything. He was very confused. He was distraught. And so my daughter called me up to her bedroom. She says, "Hey, Mom, can you come up here? My friend, I'm just going to call him Colin, has some questions." And so he's asking me about questions about the Bible. And I gave him a Bible study, showed him how to look verses up. And he was telling me some of his struggles. And they were real struggles. And so I just told him, I said, "I want you to know that you are a child of God, that God loves you. And Colin, God don't make no junk. I know you are questioning everything, but he loves you, and you need to know that." So then it was funny, so I walked out of my daughter's room, and I kind of might have done this for a minute, you know, and she's like, "See, I told you, my mom knows everything about the Bible." And I was like, "Oh, that's the biggest compliment my daughter's ever given me, but I mean, I don't know everything about the Bible." But I was so grateful that I had that moment that I could love on that child. So the crazy thing is that he graduated later that year, and so I thought, I need to get him. I know he has a Bible, so I bought him, it's called The Story. It's a Bible written in story form that's very easy to understand. So on the cover, I wrote his name, and I said, "I need you to know that you are a child of God, that he loves you very much, and he don't make no junk." And I put my name and I put my phone number. So 2 years later, I get a text message. This is just a couple weeks ago. And this is the text message that Colin sent me. He says, "My life was really bad before I got into Christianity. It was filled with witchcraft, new age, and occult items. I was always looking for something, but my faith had fallen so flat. The other day, I almost ordered tarot cards, but I just couldn't do it. It gave me a pit in my stomach. Then I just stumbled onto some videos that were about how all the new age stuff is Satan tricking me. I was being deceived. It was like a veil had been lifted from my eyes. It was crazy. All of a sudden, I saw how everything that I did was the devil tricking me. And guess what? Jesus came to me. He came into my heart. I felt the Holy Spirit for the first time. I felt him telling me that I should tell you and my grandparents. I feel such a connection with God. It doesn't even feel like a religion. It feels like the truth." He doesn't even know it, and he's quoting scripture. It feels like the truth. "So thank you for the book that you gave me. So I ask you, will you see another face in heaven because you boldly lived it? Because you loved on somebody, not with the worldly kind of love, not with judgment and a haughty finger, but with love, a sacrificial kind of love that God sent his son. That kind of love, a sacrificial kind of love that isn't always comfortable, that isn't always convenient, but it's the kind of love that God sent Jesus to die for. That's the kind of love we need to give you guys. Life is hard. I get it. It is hard. But we must cling to the truth. You know what? We must hold onto the cross so tight that we get splinters. God's light will continue to expose the darkness that the devil tries to hide. The devil will continue to try and poison us and sneak around like a snake in the night and get us. Do not let the devil win and steal your joy. When it creeps in, recognize it, remove it, and replace it. So I tell you today, straighten up your crowns, because guess what? You are the sons and the daughters of the Most High King. So believe the holy breath that God breathed to bring you to life. He created you in his image. And then he said it was good. It was very good. So guess what? The world's going to tell you one thing, and it's going to rate your life and your look and your worth on a cartoon character called an emoji. Not what God says. God's going to give you a thumbs up all the time. He's going to tell you every day, "You are enough. You are so much enough. I sent my son to die, even if it was just for you. I will chase you down and win you back." So you are enough. You are handcrafted by your creator. And guess what? He don't make no junk. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Lord, I thank you today that we can close up the series on poison control. I pray that as we leave this room, Lord, that we, as it creeps in, that we will recognize it, remove it, and that we'll replace it with your holy words, Lord. Your words, not the world's, that we will believe what the Creator says about us and not the created. And thank you for hand making us just for you. We thank you in your sweet and precious name. Amen. Thank you.